Good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
Happy Epiphany. Let's fire up the old device. Right. So, what is Epiphany? Time when Jesus is shown to us, isn't it? Time when Jesus is shown to the world, actually. And then we have the Magi, don't we? Or the wise men. Or the kings. An integral part of the Epiphany story. Keenly displayed in every nativity scene, particularly on snowy Christmas card scenes. And when linked to the guiding star, and the camels on the hill. They seem to add this sort of air of mysticism and mystery, don't they, to the whole time of the birth of Jesus. You get this sort of romantic mystery of these Eastern scenes played out before us, even with a bit of snow, which probably isn't realistic. But who were these strange Eastern visitors with their rich gifts? And why did they come to find Jesus? But perhaps more importantly, why did the writer of Matthew's Gospel think the Magi of such importance to the birth of Jesus that he recorded their visit in such detail? Interestingly, the early church also found the Magi of great importance. And by the 5th century, they'd got them created into a mosaic in the church of the Nativity in Jerusalem, or in Bethlehem, which is thought of part of Jerusalem, really. But yeah, so they were really considered important in the early church. And they were one of the first feasts. The Feast of the Epiphany was one of the most important feasts in the early church. So who were the Magi? The New Testament Greek word Magi has its roots in the ancient priestly caste of magicians found in Babylon when Daniel was exiled there 600 years before Jesus was born. But the fuller meaning of this word Magi by the time of Jesus was to do with astronomy and predicting and reading events of the world from the stars. These guys were like scientists of today, except in the first century, and they were dedicated keepers of the observations of the night skies. They knew all the movements of the stars and the planets, going back years. Generations. And we could say that their science was effectively what we would call today astrology, predicting the events of the future. Matthew's Gospel tells us that the Magi who visited baby Jesus came from the east and journeyed to Jerusalem. The east is a big area of the world, isn't it? At least half of it, perhaps. And it would seem that the best candidate for their place of origin isn't Persia, as is often assumed, which is about 2,000 miles away, but the Arabian Peninsula. And quite alarmingly, thinking of the events of today, probably Yemen. Because, again, it's about 2,000 miles away when you journey on foot. But it's the place where both myrrh and frankincense grew in terms of plants and were manufactured. So it's most likely that these guys came from that area of the world. The Magi were seemingly wealthy, at least based on the gifts that they brought to the baby Jesus. And the gifts they brought would mean that they would most likely have travelled with a bodyguard. A bodyguard of soldiers, probably, and an entourage of servants. Possible they travelled on camels, but more likely in those days they were probably travelling on horses. And their journey would have certainly taken many weeks, whichever place they came from. When they got to Jerusalem, it seems the Magi created quite a stir. You can imagine them arriving, these guys flanked by soldiers, a bodyguard, followed by servants and cartloads of tents and provisions. They'd have been an unexpected spectacle arriving in Jerusalem in the first century. A Jerusalem in the grips of a Roman occupation and under temple governance by all the laws and rules of the priestly people who were in charge in Jerusalem. Not only did these guys suddenly arrive, strangely dressed in Eastern garb, but they were asking questions in the street, if you like, general population, it seems. Where is he who's been born, King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Now, this would have been completely alien stuff to the Jews, who were all based on what was going on in the temple, Old Testament, prophecy and stuff like that. And these guys were saying, we saw his star rise, we know he's been born. Coming from a completely different place altogether. And we've come to worship him. We're told by Matthew's Gospel that this caused the people of Jerusalem and King Herod to be troubled, or as it was translated in our reading on the screen there, disturbed. Yes. They had no idea what was going on. These guys were coming from left field. And up to this time, Herod had had no knowledge that a new and possibly rival king of the Jews even existed. The arrival of the wise men saying, "Where is this king?" was a complete eye-opener to Herod. Suddenly he knew a king had been born, a contender for his throne. One thing was very clear to Herod. When the Magi said they'd come to worship the King of the Jews, it certainly wasn't him that they were thinking of. And these Magi were obviously not in the habit of worshipping, as you could say, any old king. Any old king of the Jews. They were only interested in one very special king. And Herod knew, because he was a Jew, that this special king was likely to be very special indeed. And this special king was long awaited, and Herod would have known that. He would have known about the Messiah. And only the Messiah, the anointed one of God, would be a king worthy of worship. And one might pay homage to a king, an ordinary king, but one would only worship a Messiah king. And people were used to paying homage to kings in those days. But they worshipping a king, well, like you would worship God. As a Jewish king, you would never do that. But the Magi had a problem. The star they'd seen rise had given them the direction of Jerusalem. But they had not got the sat-nav postcode to the exact location of the new king. once they got to Jerusalem. But fortunately, Herod solved this problem for the Magi. Herod summoned all the chief priests and the scribes and asked them where the prophesied location of the Messiah was to be born. He was to be born. And the answer came tumbling out. Bethlehem, of course, your majesty. That would be the birthplace of the Messiah. And he would be the shepherd of God's people. Did you notice that in the little reading we had in Matthew's Gospel? The shepherd of God's people. So Herod now formed an action plan. And we can imagine him almost gleefully summoning the Magi and giving them the prophesied birthplace of the Messiah and sending them on their way with the instructions to report back to him with the precise address of the house. Herod, however, was slightly more sneaky still. He wanted to know the exact time that the new king's star had appeared. In other words, Herod wanted to know the exact birthday of the new king, so he'd know what age of child to search for. Because Herod was a very sneaky old fox. When the Magi arrived at Bethlehem, they still had a small town to search and no house number. But Matthew tells us that once again, the star showed them the way. It seems that after its first rising, the star had not been seen by the Magi, because they'd got to Jerusalem and they had no idea where to go. For Matthew's Gospel tells us that the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. So after they went to Bethlehem, the star rose before them. And then they knew where to go. Then God's divine sat-nav, you could say, showed the Magi the way. It'd be nice to have a star on your dashboard showing you the way. You can imagine the sort of excitement of the Magi as they knocked on the door of the house of the baby Jesus. And the amazement of Mary as she opened the door to them. And there they all were, this huge, great entourage. These sort of Magi, and then all this sort of row of soldiers and carts and full of tents and all that sort of stuff all going down the street. It must have been amazing. Who are all these people? I wonder how long the introductions and the explanations took. And I wonder if it all happened on the doorstep with the neighbours looking on, or whether they went in the house. The Magi, their whole lengthy expedition was totally dedicated to this moment, to the finding the new and very special King of the Jews and getting in to worship him. And that's exactly what they did. As soon as they found Jesus in the house with his mother Mary, that's what they did. We're not told how long the worship went on for, but I suspect that after such a long journey and all the searching, that this worship session was not short. Kind of glosses over, doesn't it, in the Bible, but I imagine they were there for some time doing this worship. They spend a long time getting there. And we perhaps give a lot more focus to the gifts that the Magi presented to Jesus, the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh. But they were just part of the worship that the Magi gave to Jesus. And their visit was all about worshipping this very special King of the Jews. A title Jesus took to the cross, didn't he? The King of the Jews. He took it to the cross. And perhaps that is why this event is given so much space at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel. Because this King of the Jews, whose star rose in the east, went to the cross bearing the same name, the King of the Jews. He had it on a sign above the cross where Pilate put it. And if you think about it, it starts Matthew's Gospel and it finishes Matthew's Gospel. It's very important, isn't it? That from the very moment of his birth, almost, Jesus was known as the King of the Jews. How about you? How far would you travel? What resources would you commit? And what hardships and dangers would you endure to stand in front of the living Jesus and worship him? Simply to do that, what would you commit to that? Not forgetting, of course, that in a way that the whole journey of the Magi was worship. Because it was dedicated to coming before Jesus, it was an amazing pilgrimage of worship. And for the Magi, this was a once-in-a-lifetime chance to worship the living Jesus, the living King of the Jews, and they gave it their all. Just amazing, isn't it? And what a privilege we have, because we can worship the living Jesus every day without a journey of hundreds of miles because of his death and resurrection. And we can worship the risen living Jesus just where and when we are. And we don't have to bring him any special gifts apart from ourselves. Let's make sure that we take full advantage of this privilege. Make sure that following the example of the Magi, who did it all before the death and resurrection of Jesus, that our lives are lives of pilgrimage, of journeying to and worshipping our King. That our lives are dedicated to him, like their journey was dedicated to him. Because Epiphany is when Jesus is revealed to the world through the worship of our lives. Amen.